Now the Federal Drive with Tom Temin.
And thanks for joining us on this Thursday, December 22nd, 2016. It's 5 minutes after the hour. I'm Jared Serbu, filling in for Tom Temin. Our producers are Lauren Larson and Eric White. Our web editors are Jory Heckman and Michael O'Connell. Coming up on this hour of the Federal Drive, an update on labor-management relations at the U.S. Postal Service. Plus, agencies aren't quite floundering, but they're not exactly zooming straight toward the goal of achieving spending transparency by May of next year. Those stories and much more ahead during this hour of the Federal Drive. First up, though, the defense budget is constantly going through ups and downs. Congress is still trying to figure out the numbers for 2017. Federal News Radio Scott Massioni joined Tom Temin to talk about how this year wrapped up and what's in store for next year.
Coming into 2017, that was, if you remember, for the fiscal year at least, that was back in October. So we're already in 2017 at this point. Right now, where we're at is that we have $218.7 billion authorized for the Defense Department and for the military and for the Energy Department because they deal with the nuclear weapons, but nothing's appropriated. And we're in a continuing resolution until April, which means that the $587 billion that the Defense Department's been working with in 2016 and has been just doing that same thing for this 2017 year so far. So what that means is no new starts for programs. So if the Defense Department wanted to start something new, that has to just hold off until after April or to whenever this budget finally gets passed and appropriated. It also means no funding increases for those programs that need to be ramped up.
And what about troop levels? That's a mixed bag too, because some of them are going up, some of them going down.
Right. So originally they were supposed to go down in 2017, especially in the Army. The drawdown was supposed to go down to 450,000, maybe even lower than that in active duty. The Senate and House Armed Services Committees, Congress, they tried to plus that up, and it has been doing that, but it's all, you know, the prerogative of the president. Basically, they've only authorized it. They still need those appropriations to be able to fund the troops and the training that they'll need to come in. And that includes barracks, housing, all those types of things.
So it looks like really 2018 will be the first budget that the Trump administration can get its hands on in any meaningful way, even though that's fairly fully formed, you know, by now. But there's still time to get in on that one. 2017 looks pretty much they'll accept what the current shape is now.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, you know, the Obama administration and these things are planned out years and years in advance. They have budgeteers that are looking 20, 30, 50 years in advance. So they have major programs that have already been decided on what they're trying to the funds they're trying to put in and where they need to go. So, you know, the Trump administration might have a little bit of wiggle room. And one thing that Congress has been suggesting is that Trump send in a supplemental request and say, you know, if you want to add a few things, if you want to add more troops, more procurements, give us a request for more money and then maybe we'll talk about it.
And the 2018 request, in theory, comes out from an administration sometime around, February 1st, I think they're supposed to have it out.
Yeah, early in the year.
And so that's 2 weeks after inauguration. I wonder what that's going to look like.
Right. Yeah, and we're not exactly sure about that either. And, you know, it's more of the bureaucrats that are down in the weeds that work on a lot of these things, and the policymakers just kind of give them a broad stroke on where they want to go. So I don't really know how much the Trump administration will even have for 2018, except for saying we want more funds. And that's something he's been very, very adamant about, you know, up to $100 billion more than what the Defense Department already has, which is a staggering amount. You know, we're starting to push $1 trillion at this point just for defense.
Well, it seems like defense is kind of at one of those crossroads, to use a tired cliche. But if you're going to have a smaller force, and we do have small forces historically, but the reason is there is technological superiority such that you don't need the vast quantities of ground troops and so forth. You know, we're not going to storm Normandies anymore, not in the drone era, in the long-range missile era. And so guided missile era, I guess that brings up the question is, what is the status of the third offset strategy as we head into the new administration?
Right. Well, that's something that Donald Trump has really brought up, this classic debate, which is capacity versus capability. And Donald Trump's a capacity person. He wants more ships, more planes, more troops. And that's something that it seems to be falling in partisan lines a little bit. A lot of Republicans agree that we need more of these things. In fact, the Senate Armed Services Committee staffer, the head staffer, Chris Burrows, he recently said that he agrees we need more of these ships and a bigger fleet. But at the same time, people like Ash Carter, who's the current defense secretary, he wants a force that is prepared for the future. That means cyber. That means space. And you can't take, even with the $100 billion that Trump wants, putting the investments in the modernization that we need and for the extra troops, extra maintenance that it'll take to have these troops and the fleet and everything like that, it's a little too much to cut. It's a little too thin to cut for both of those things.
We're speaking with Federal News Radio's Scott Massioni, and allied with the third offset strategy is the DIUX initiative. And at first, it seemed like President-elect Trump was at arm's length with the whole Silicon Valley crowd. And then, lo and behold, he invites them all to Trump Tower.
That's right. He's been hanging out with Bill Gates.
And Bill Gates and all these people from the various companies, Jeff Bezos from Amazon. Maybe he had him there because he owns the Washington Post, which is, you know, well, we know what their politics are. What do you see ahead for DIUX? It's a tiny program, but it sure has had a lot of attention.
Right. So earlier this month, I actually saw the director of DIUX, and he
really exists.
He does. He does. He's actually been around D.C. quite a bit lately. And I think, you know, that's because the budget is coming up and he's thinking
he's not here for the weather. That's for
right.
Sure.
That's right. So DIUX has been one of those things that is really, really up in the air. And Michelle Flournoy, who's the former Undersecretary of Defense for Policy, she said that she was afraid Trump was going to kind of throw the baby out with the bathwater with this whole capacity thing and start cutting some really important programs. She said that the DIUX has really made a difference. And, you know, they've only put in $36 million in contracts. It's really small. But what they like is how quickly they can get things to the warfighter and how state-of-the-art everything is that they get to the warfighter. So DIUX was supposed to get $30 million for 2017. Right now, they're cordoned off by 20% from Congress until they can get a report from DOD about where their mission statement's going, where the kind of a charter, basically, is what they want for the whole thing.
Yeah, I guess Congress is the one continuous element here between administrations, and some of those Armed Services Committee people have pretty strong ideas. And I wanted to ask you, too, about two programs. One is relatively trivial in the grand scheme of things, which is Air Force One. Mm-hmm. And then while we're talking about flying vehicles is the F-35, both of which Donald Trump has railed against in tweets and so forth. What is the defense establishment that you deal with saying about this, or what do they think is the reality here?
Well, you know, a lot of people are really entrenched in how the Defense Department works, and the acquisition cycle in defense is kind of like the bureaucrats that are in defense as well. They stay there forever, and it takes forever for things to kind of get done a little bit. And so when you look at these things that kind of balloon in cost, it's not always how it seems. It's really easy for someone just to point out and say, that's what's making, you know, that's the problem with the Defense Department right now, is that there's something just blowing up. But, you know, if you were to take, say, I need a new radar on this Air Force One, it takes a lot of development. It takes a lot of work to get these things going. And you can't just put in a contract $500 million, that's all you get. And then once that money runs out, you're still not getting the end result. Well, you need to feed them more money. So fixed price contracts don't always work the way you need them to. And I think that's something maybe Donald Trump hasn't understood yet.
And it could be that the F-35, and this may not be known to Donald Trump, but the F-35's travails are, say, mostly over, and it's close to being able to be produced at a reasonable cost and reasonable maintenance type of schedule. Maybe the worst of it is over, and it would be kind of a shame to cut back now when they've already sunk all the costs to get it to this point.
Right. I mean, there's been basically over $1 trillion spent on F-35 over the, you know, 20 years they've worked on it. But, you know, there's no questioning that there's problems with the acquisition establishment and the way it's working. But, you know, I think it's easy from an outside perspective to say this needs to change until you actually get in there. So we'll see what happens in January 20th.
Federal News Radio Scott Massioni talking with Tom Temin. And you can find all of our coverage of the defense budgeting issues at federalnewsradio.com. Still to come on Federal News Radio, an update on labor management relations at the U.S. Postal Service. First, though, agencies aren't quite floundering, but they're not exactly zooming straight toward the goal of achieving spending transparency by May of next year. This is the Federal Drive with Tom Temin on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'm Jared Serbu, filling in for Tom.